This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Marketing Mojo and Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan. Good afternoon. We've started a four-part series on online design with the folks at Tricor Sanity. They are a web design and app development company. And last week, we looked at 10 principles of online design. You can look up the podcast on www.bfm.my if you missed it. Today, we've got things that turn people off on the internet. And joining us again today is Ching Yi Fu, CEO, Tricor Sanity, and also Leonard Bong, who's a solutions consultant at Tricor Sanity. Welcome back.
Hi.
Long time no see.
Hello again.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Okay, things that turn people off on the internet. And, you know, we're talking about online design and what should go in it, what your website should do, and how to make things more attractive and more appealing and more natural for your website consumer. And there are many things that people do on the internet that turn users off. What would number one be?
This is going to be a fun list, right? So the first thing we have on the list is music that is running in the background when you visit a site. So there's been a trend of having background music maybe 20 years ago, I'm not sure.
20 years ago, yeah. Definitely. And in the days of Flash, when they used to have intros and the need to put a button there, skip intro.
Yes. So I think even up to today, we still have those remnants of those websites where music is being played. Majority of them have the ability for you to turn it off, but then there's quite a number that do not have an option for you to switch off the music as you browse the site. And that becomes really annoying if that music isn't quite what, you know, it's not quite your cup of tea.
Or you're in the office or in a very quiet doctor's office or something, and suddenly this jang music comes on, right?
Yes.
And you're looking for the mute button.
It's sometimes you're unable to even skip it or stop it, so the website, yeah.
Yeah, so then you deter people from even, you know, browsing through your website, right?
It's quite a put off. Sometimes when we're trying to load music files or a lot of animation type of things, it does consume a higher bandwidth and takes a longer time to load. And because these are not absolute necessary things, it does consume the user's bandwidth and time. That further annoys the user.
Yeah, it's totally unnecessary. But what I've also noticed is that sometimes there are websites where videos are placed on the landing page. It could be further down in the landing page and you have to scroll to get to it. But the videos run immediately as soon as you access the site. What are your views on that?
Some of these videos are actually advertisements. Well, at least some of those that I've seen, they tend to appear on news sites or blog sites that subscribe to display advertisements. And the reason why they play immediately, I guess, it's that it just serves to earn more, you know, for the ad, for the person that's displaying, I mean, for the company that's displaying the ad, they tend to get more revenue being able to play. And I think that is annoying as well, because in a way, you're forcing somebody to watch an ad that they didn't want to watch. In a way, it is as annoying as background music.
Okay, so the way to go is, if you do have a video on your site, make sure that the user has to click play.
Yeah, I think that's much better.
Number two.
Number two would be the pop-up advertisement that appears on your website. So there are days where we want to look for information and all this pop-up advertisement just pops up on your screen, then blocks your information, then it requires you to sign in or even press cancel. So this, it will actually turn people off from using the internet. So because it takes people more clicks or more time to load things, so this is something that we should avoid.
A lot of browsers now have a block pop-up function.
Yes, they do. Some come as a default option, I believe, but some require you to download an additional extension to the browser that helps you block these ads. But I think those are not very common to everyone. I think majority of internet users just use the browser as is and may not know how to block these pop-up ads. And as a result of that, it does become quite annoying because at the same time, you don't want to block out all pop-ups. Some pop-ups, for example, if you're serving, say, one of the airline sites and you're trying to decide what sort of route you should, you know, what time you should, your flight should be, and you're taking a while to think about it, it will actually prompt you to say that you haven't been active for some time. Would you like to continue or not?
Okay.
So those kind of pop-ups, you don't really want to block because they are legit and you really want to say, I would like to continue. But if you install something like these sort of extensions, they might just block everything, you know, makes it really inconvenient.
But on the whole, I think pop-ups just deter people and turn them off immediately. There are a lot of call-to-action pop-ups, such as a call to subscribe or like their FB page. And there are a lot of news articles that I've clicked on. I find that media, online media likes to use this. And there are a lot of news articles that I would have read but just got turned off when the pop-ups came up and I couldn't dismiss them easily.
It happens to us too.
Yeah. You know, do these websites actually get what they want? From the pop-ups, are these functions effective?
Not really. I think it's more on the advertisers. It falls into the realm of spam in a way, where why would people send spam emails? Out of the 1,000 emails that they send, maybe they get one subscriber. So out of the many pop-ups that get loaded, perhaps they get one subscriber. So they keep doing it. But I would think that most people are put off.
Okay, number three.
Okay, this one is about the structure of the website. We think that if the information on the website is not properly structured, it makes it really hard for the user to get to find what they want. Perhaps it is hidden under many, many layers, so it's not immediately found, as in you have to click through several different things before you get to the information you want. So in a way, I think websites ought to be very much more alive, and the web administrator can actually view traffic to see what are some of your more popular content and put those out front so that it's easier for people to find it.
So what would constitute a well-structured website?
I think a well-structured website would depend on the objective as well. So depending on, for instance, if it's a typical corporate site, you would want people to be able to read information about your company and not to hide that information deep down somewhere else, like in our products or you know, deep down in many layers. So you want to make that information upfront, or things like your portfolio. So if people want to sign up with you, or they want to see who else use your products, right? Who are your more famous customers? They want to be able to see those information, make it easy to access. Or your company address and phone number, display them very large and big so that people can call you.
Yeah, I find that a lot of people include a form when it comes to contact us.
Yes.
And that puts me off because sometimes I just want to get a phone number and address quickly.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to fill up a form and wait for someone to respond to me.
Yeah, I think some of this information that, you know, would be very helpful. I'm not sure why, but some companies choose not to tell people where their office is, for instance. Yeah, I think that does add credibility to the company if you are more open with the information.
Absolutely. Number four.
Number four would be not recommended usage for fonts and colors and blinker. So these type of things turn people off because, like, let's say that you are viewing a site using a laptop and then the fonts are really, really tiny. So it's so hard for readability. The user who will be having a hard time reading everything, and also like colors, it plays a very important role inside here. So if a website has bad color contrast over there, then it turns people off because it's like it can even hurt their eyes reading it.
Yes.
Like, let's say you can imagine yourself having like orange background with a red font text over there. So it's gonna be really bad for people.
This is like in the early days of the internet.
We also have people who request for specific fonts that they like, for example cursive or curly type of fonts.
Hard to read.
Yeah, but they are usually very hard to read on the website.
So even there are days where some of them would like to have some blinker. Like, it keeps blinking on the website, so it turns people off. Some people like it. So it's very dependent on like where you put your blinker. So if you put it everywhere on your website, it keeps blinking, then people will like get so annoyed using the web, and then they would rather turn it off and not use it. Yeah.
Okay, it's a no-brainer. And number five.
So we also find that the flow of the site is important, as in to follow what the user would expect. For instance, if I clicked on buy now and then you take me on a detour page that takes me somewhere else, it might actually stop me from making a purchase. Or if I clicked on, for instance, like what you mentioned earlier, contact us, and I see that instead of a form for me to fill up or your company address or some way that I can get in touch with you, you actually take me to a list of your branches, that might be quite a bit of a put off if it wasn't actually done in a proper flow.
I would definitely just close down that window and go to another source.
Yeah.
And it's a loss of business, loss of opportunity, I would say. And number 6,
all contents and typo errors. So if you're visiting a site with all contents, you will not be satisfied with what you get, because you'll be searching for, let's say, Liverpool versus Manchester United. Then you get results of last season and you got updated wrongly. And then if even things like some events that is coming up, then you are googling for it, then you get the wrong information. So this will hinder people from using the internet, because they are not getting what they wanted, and the information delivered to them are the wrong or old information. So these are some things that might turn people off.
And I think the most important thing there is that it affects the credibility of your website and your company.
Yeah, it looks like nobody's been working there for some time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you log on to a charity or some organization that says they do X, Y, and Z, you log on and, like, you know, the latest info was from 2008, and you go like,
Like, are they still around?
Are they still alive?
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm with Ching Yi Fu, CEO of Tricor Sanity, and Leonard Bong, solutions consultant. We're going through the things that turn people off on the internet. We'll have more for you on Marketing Mojo Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon, this is Maya Tan. You're listening to Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm with Ching Yi Fu, CEO of Tricor Sanity, and Leonard Bong, solutions consultant. Tricor Sanity is a web design and app development company. We're going through the things that turn people off on the internet. So we've gone through quite a number of things. Number 7.
Well, we think that the introduction page that cannot be skipped, it's a definite no-no. This brings us back to what we said earlier about videos that you must watch, or music that you must listen to.
Or an introduction.
Page that you must, you know, watch until the end. I think forcing people on the internet to do things that they don't like to is a no-no.
I think the internet is a democracy, if anything. So, you know, any sort of dictatorial behavior will just be shunned. You'll just lose them immediately.
Dictatorial, yeah. That's a very interesting way of saying it.
It's the kind of website that Kim Jong-un would have. Okay. Number 8.
Number 8 will be loading long animation and also slow sites. So, if you're visiting a site with long animation, loading animation, it takes time to load and people will be waiting. And then instead of, right now, everyone wants to be quick, instantly get information. But if you are having a slow site due to the content you are having, you might be using images with 100 megabytes, which is like loading people's data and then it finishes up it. So this will also make people like, oh, I would rather not view the site, or I would rather see something that's on paper like that. Yeah,
it kind of goes hand in hand with the introduction page that cannot be skipped as well. And number 9,
the unresponsive site. I think last week we talked about one of the principles of design is to have a site that is responsive. So being brought to a site that isn't mobile friendly when you're surfing on your mobile device is a put off, because you have to enlarge, scroll to the right, scroll to the bottom to read everything or to see everything on the site. And usually this sort of sites would mean that the user is unlikely to actually navigate past the first page. So what you will see on your analytics is a very high bounce rate, that people actually found your site maybe through your ads or search engine marketing, or perhaps through organic search. They arrive on your site, see that it is not friendly for their device, and then they leave.
Again, lost opportunity. Number 10.
Right, it will be insufficient relevant information. As to what I've mentioned just now before the break, which is all contents, but right now, what if your website are having insufficient relevant information? Let's take the same example, which is for football. Let's say that Liverpool versus Manchester United. Although you get the result, it's accurate, but you don't have enough relevant information, which is like who's the one scoring the goal. So this will actually hinder people from viewing your site and turn people off, because like, okay, I'm halfway there, but I'm not getting everything. Another case will be like, imagine you want to go for a movie. Then you go to the cinema website and then you only get what show it's on, but you don't get the time. So it's
incomplete information.
Yeah, incomplete information. So this will just don't satisfy people on your site.
On the other hand, there's also a fine line, right? There's a balance that you need to meet. You can't have too much information either.
That's too much.
Because people are not going to scroll through or read everything.
Yes.
But there's nothing like not being able to find a phone number or an address, as we were talking about, or a menu or prices. I think prices are very important because I read a study recently that said that more than half of consumers research their purchases and make comparisons online before, you know, making a purchase. So if you don't allow a potential customer to do that, they might just strike you off the list.
Agreed.
Company A, Company B, Company C, Company D, oh, no information. All right, off the list, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And number 11?
Okay, this one probably have to say, you know, courtesy to my mom. So default options that are being selected on an e-commerce site. So this would refer to sites where you are able to make a purchase. So you might select a particular product and then it comes with some optional add-ons or optional, you know, gift wraps and things like that, that of course you will have to pay for, but they are selected by default. So if you're not careful, for example, buying an airline ticket, if you're not careful and you're not, you know, paying attention, you might end up buying a lot of add-ons that you thought were optional, but then because they were checked by default, they got added onto the total that you have to pay for.
So what's the connection with your mom?
Well, she gets very annoyed when she's, you know, online buying airline tickets because she thinks that she's being trapped into buying all sorts of insurance and baggage and food and things like that that she didn't really want.
I see. Okay, yeah. And I've also had automatic jumps. For example, I was looking at the website of a hotel chain and I was booking at a particular location. They had no rooms available on my selected dates, and so it jumped automatically to another location where there are rooms. As a result, I ended up booking rooms in Damansara Perdana when I was looking for Georgetown Penang, and then they charged me a one-night fee for no show. I was also stuck without accommodation in Penang. Do you think that was a glitch or was it just unscrupulous web design?
I don't know about unscrupulous. I would think it's definitely an oversight in terms of the flow. Perhaps the web designer was trying to be helpful to say, you know, I'm going to suggest another location for you because, you know, we are smart like that. We know which other room is available. But unfortunately, because of the way the information is being portrayed or displayed, it is not obvious to you that a location switch has occurred. It's very much similar to the default options. Just like, I'm sure they're just trying to be helpful to say, you know, you can have all these additional add-ons, drinks for your pizza or luggage for your flight that we think you might want, but not being made very, very obvious to the user makes the user feel like they were conned.
Yeah, absolutely. And because I had made that purchase, I could not go back and, you know, get my money back. So there you go. Default options, which are pre-selected on e-commerce sites. Something to look out for. Number 12.
Okay, we think that unsecured pages for online transactions do put some people off. It may not put everyone off, particularly those that are not really paying attention to whether a site is encrypted or not. You can actually see it at the top of your browser where there's usually the icon of a lock or the start of the website URL says HTTPS instead of HTTP. It means that this page or what you're seeing right now is being encrypted. So this is a must for online transactions, obviously to protect the user from having their credit card information stolen or their login details being viewed while in transit.
Mm-hmm.
So for people in the know, people who know that, okay, these are must-have, if I come to a site that isn't encrypted and you're asking me for my username and password, I'm not going to log in because I feel unsafe. Yeah. So it's definitely a put-off, and I hope that this would actually put off more people.
The thing is, cybercrime is really, really proliferating at a very fast speed. Fast as you can put security measures in place, the hackers are in there finding ways to get around it. So, yeah, this is an important one. And finally, number 13.
The final one would be clickbait content and misleading content. Let's say that clicking on headlines that are like saying Nepal earthquake, but whenever you click on it, it brings you to another website, another link, which is that they just want to detour you from the actual link. So sometimes all these are like just to obtain more clicks for visits, and also it's like misleading information because they are giving you this headline, but when you click on it, it's leading you to another site, which is like, oh, download this for something something, just to get their attention. And also that they are ads advertisement design that looks like buttons where people might be mistaken, and then they just click on it and thought it was a button to proceed on next, but in fact it's actually an advertisement. Then it makes you watch some video or something like that, so you'll be opening things that you don't wish to see or don't wish to have.
You know, I absolutely hate that as much as when old friends call you up after a long time and ask you for coffee, and you get excited and you go there and they just want you to sign up for some multi-level marketing thing.
Yes,
you know,
I hate that.
Yes. But just out of interest, you know, how do people make use of all these high page visit numbers?
Some of these viral content, such as, you know, clickbaits that go something like, a little girl crosses a street and you wouldn't believe what she saw, and then a million people click on that. And what happens is that they may be serving ads on that page. Where the little girl crossed the street. So when that page is loaded, the ad is loaded alongside with it, and they are gaining some sort of revenue from the number of impressions or the number of people who actually loaded that page. So because of that, there are a lot of sites out there that are clickbaits, because that actually attracts revenue for them.
I see. Well, that's another episode altogether, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what we'll be talking about in next week's episode, Mobilegeddon, How to Get the Best of SEO and Web Analytics. This has been episode 2 of our 4-part series on online design with Tricosanity. Thank you, Qingyi Fu, CEO of Tricosanity, and Leonard Bong, Solutions Consultant. This has been Marketing Mojo and Resource Centre. I'm Maya Tan, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.